from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got the Candlestick Chronicles duo here with us. Kyle's leaving. He's had it. He's had it with just about everybody here at this point. As we welcome in our good friend from the Sacramento Bee and, of course, the mentioned podcast, Candlestick Chronicles, our man Chris Biederman. Chris, always a pleasure to talk. Actually, I want to make sure we talk about a couple of things because Chris has been doing some great work over at the Sacramento Bee, talking high school football as well as Sacramento A's stuff on the way. But let's start with the 49ers. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk. The big discussion here with Kyle a few minutes ago was, this is a weird place to start, but I feel like Schefter crapped on everybody's parade. What do you think the validity of the Schefter tweet was that Ayuk essentially signed a deal that has been out there for him for roughly 2.5 weeks?
I think it tracks. With what I've sort of gathered a little bit was that there was a lot of frustration towards Brandon Ayuk, and he was being a little bit wishy-washy. And I think it was pretty clear in the way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch addressed the media earlier this week when they talked about it before the deal was signed. Like, those guys were very clearly frustrated, right? Like, Brandon Ayuk requests a trade. They negotiate a trade with at least three teams, right? It sounded like they had trades with Cleveland and New England, and then Brandon Ayuk simply didn't want to go. And their trade with Pittsburgh, according to Diana Rossini of The Athletic, was contingent on them being able to get Cortland Sutton for a third-round pick that they would be getting from Pittsburgh in that Ayuk trade, essentially making it a three-team deal. And then for it to get to this point where, you know, Brandon Ayuk signs for exactly what Amon-Ra St. Brown signed for, at least on, you know, on at first blush, on average annual value and all that, it's like, all right, this is kind of where everyone thought we were going to end up, and then we got here, but it took all these crazy twists and turns, and now it's, you know, a week before the season starts, and this feels like it could have been happening. This could have happened a long time ago, I think. So that's my takeaway from what Schefter said. It kind of falls in line with that. I know his Brandon Ayuk's agent refuted that. I think this is. The what happened was the process was just frustrating for everybody on all sides.
You know what I think part of my problem is too, Casey, is it's Schefter. And I feel like Schefter is kind of, whether he has it out for Ayuk or Ayuk's agent, but I feel like he has worked pretty hard over the last 5 months to make Brandon Ayuk look ridiculous in all of this. If it had come from me in Rappaport or is it Mike Garofalo, I might have felt different. Or Matt Barrels or Chris Biederman. I definitely feel different if it came from Chris Biederman. But because it's Schefter, I immediately looked at it sideways.
Yeah, he's a guy that he pulls those type of moves. You know what I mean? Like, we don't forget what the Lamar Jackson situation was and how that went down. For whatever reason, he pulls those type of moves when it comes to these negotiations between teams and star players. I don't know why.
Yeah, I would say I would say he tends to side with the team when it comes to sort of the veiled reporting he does on some of this stuff.
But Chris is the second insider to say this track, so I'm kind of a lone wolf over here. I'll say third because you're an insider
well,
too.
I'd well, say third. I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's exactly August 10th or August 13th or whatever, but it does feel like it was there for a couple weeks. And like you said, it could be the framework could have been there for that amount of time. You know, little things here and there could needed to be reworked the entire time, and you know they were going over it or whatever the case may be. You said. It doesn't have to be a lie. It could be parts of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think worst case scenario, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, it was clear, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Amon-Ra St. Brown were going to get similar numbers, right? And Amon-Ra signed his deal like right around the draft. It was like April 24th. So I think everybody on the outside sort of knew like, all right, like and it was reported. It was reported at the time that Brandon Ayuk is looking for Amon-Ra St. Brown numbers, and that's basically what he got. So I think it's just kind of a. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard too much about it because the Niners have been pretty tight-lipped. But my sense is there was a lot of frustration on both sides regarding this whole thing.
So what now? All the tension turned into Trent Williams.
Yeah, basically, I wonder like. And again, this is just me speculating, but I wonder if the 49ers are saying, all right, Trent, like if we're going to guarantee you 2 or 3 years of this money, can you guarantee us that you're not going to retire at the end of next season? Right. And so, you know, I don't know which side I come down on that in terms of like, I don't know what the exact dollars are, but my assumption would be the Niners are leery of giving Trent Williams a bunch of guaranteed money if they don't think he's going to play out the length, like if he's going to play the amount of time commensurate with that guaranteed money, right? Like if they guarantee him 2 years, they're probably hoping that he plays for 2 years so they don't have this gigantic dead cap number. On the other hand, it's like, man, just pay him. Like this kind of feels like the last ride with this group. Like you just kind of got to pay him. And then if you have to replace him with a draft pick later on, then you do that. And you kick the can down the road when you get to that point. But for me, it's, you know, pay Trent Williams now. But I would imagine there's got to be some question about the guaranteed money that the 49ers are wanting to pay him while wondering how long are you going to play? Because if you're only going to play 1 year, why would we guarantee you 2 or 3 years worth of money?
Well, Damian's brought this up a number of different times. And I got to believe there's something that NFL front office people, the 49ers front office, Parag Marate, and agents and everything. I got to believe there's something that's there that we're not seeing, but why wouldn't they just do the Aaron Donald deal? Where if he plays, we pay you. If you retire, we're not on the hook for nothing. Like it seems very simple if that's what the 49ers' concern is. Just structure it just like the Aaron Donald deal.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think that would make a lot of sense. I do wonder
why are
too,
we
like,
smarter than everybody? I don't understand.
I do wonder if there's a sense like, all right, Trent Williams has been here for what, 2 years now, 3 years, and there have been deep runs in the playoffs in all the seasons Trent Williams has been here. Maybe he just doesn't really want to participate in training camp, and maybe he's just like, yeah, I'll show up a week before the season starts, and then we'll get going, and you know because. You go to the Super Bowl, your season's 5 weeks longer than it normally would be otherwise, and training camp is about 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, maybe that's the part of the calculus where Trent's like, yeah, like, you know, I could sign this whenever, but I'm just going to take my time because I don't really feel like I need all these practice reps. Which, to be fair, if you're, you know, 36-year-old Trent Williams with everything he's done in his career and how well he played last year, like, I think that's a reasonable take to have.
What do you feel about this team overall? I mean, we've heard Kenny's talked about the vibes, feeling a little off. A phrase we focused on a lot this week came from Manti Te'o, and it was emotionally drained. How real do you think that stuff is? You're kind of chuckling at that. Do you disagree with the sentiment? Now, we did agree the execution of the way he laid that out might have been a little clunky. But in the end, I thought there was a point to the emotionally drained line.
No, for sure. I just laugh at Manti Te'o talking about emotions and being able to read situations that's accurately.
Poor guy. Oh, but, that's not...
poor guy.
That's why I was laughing. Look, I don't mean to take shots. And I don't necessarily disagree with them. It's really hard. Like, you talk to all these guys, like, you know, climbing up the mountain, getting there, and then not winning is emotionally draining, right? But on the other hand, it's like, well, regardless of what happened last year, they were going to show up to training camp. They're going to play football this year anyway. So I see kind of both sides of it. I think they're going to have to win a different way this year. And like, you're going into the season, like, kind of banged up, right? Like, we don't know what kind of shape Brandon Ayuk's in. There was a back and neck injury. So if, you know, if he's not 100% or if he's not as productive as we're used to him seeing, then, you know, is Ricky Pearsall going to be able to produce at all? Is he even going to play week one, dealing with his shoulder issues and the fact that he hasn't played any preseason games and hardly got on the practice field this summer? Do you feel comfortable with Jacob Cowing being your number three receiver? Just a lot of question marks at that point. You feel good about Debo Samuel, and maybe you feel good about Brandon Ayuk, but you still have question marks. You have Juwan Jennings dealing with an oblique injury, right? Along the defensive line, that's typically been the team's strength. You know you have Nick Bosa, and then you don't really know if you're going to be dominant at the other three spots, right? Like, you feel okay about Leonard Floyd, but you don't really know given how much he's played. And at this stage in his career, he's clearly on the back nine of his career, right? The one thing I do feel pretty good about going into this season is the secondary. I think the Niners secondary has a chance to be really good. And I think this is going to be the first year since Kyle Shanahan came on that the secondary is going to be better than the pass rush. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing because we've seen teams win both ways, right? We're just used to the Niners winning with the pass rush. But with Deommodore Lenore in a contract year, with Tre'Varius Ward in a contract year, I think Jair Brown is ready to take a significant step. We'll see about Talanoa Hufanga, but I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off if he's not playing between, you know, Talanoa Hufanga and even Georgia.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dota Marie, even Malik Mustafa, right? Like, I think they can make that strong safety position fit until Hufanga is back or he's back to 100%. And I think Renardo Green is showing signs as a rookie that he might be a useful player, maybe more useful than any other corner in their rookie season than they've had recently. And then you have Isaac Yiadom, who had a really good camp before his ankle injury. So I just think the secondary is going to be really good. I do have questions about the health of the receiving corps, given Pearsall's injuries, given Juwan Jennings' injuries, given that you might be, you know, asking Jacob Cowing to be your third receiver to start the season. But, you know, like, that's a long-winded way of saying I think that it's going to be a different team. They're more top-heavy this year, and I don't know that the depth is going to be there, so they're going to have to rely on their stars. And I think the big question has been, well, if two of your stars, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, got no training camp, what's that going to look like early in the season? I think that's a fair question to ask.
You know, I wanted to ask Kyle this, but I'll ask you, Chris. It's just as good. Candlestick Chronicles, either way, it don't matter. Then ask you, Dame, about this. You know, I talk about the vibes and vibes being off and all this other stuff. And I don't think this was anybody's plan. I don't think this was orchestrated in any way. This is not an evil genius type situation. But through everything that happened, Brandon Ayuk, I can only speak for myself and maybe for other 49ers fans, and I wonder about the locker room. Getting the Brandon Ayuk done, the deal done yesterday, gave a little bit of energy to this team for me. I thought about how I felt about them after they lost the Super Bowl, and I was like, I mean, there's nothing they can do that's going to get me energized for the regular season. And then you get closer to the season, and it's like, all right, maybe so, but, like, none of it matters. Like, they start 6-0, like, it don't matter. We've got to win a Super Bowl. Then it was a little malaise or whatever. And he signs yesterday, and first it was like, all right, finally got it done. And then it was like, all right, let's go. Like, let's go. All right, the boy's here. Let's get work. And I wonder, Chris, if that may happen in that locker room. They were all kind of in a malaise, the Super Bowl hangover, whatever the case may be. They had this crazy situation with Brandon Ayuk. They still got one with Trent Williams. But they get one of their guys back. And there may be a sense of, all right, the boy's back. Let's get to work. We get one more, and now we really going to get to work. You think that's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely think that's possible. And, you know, the other thing I didn't really hit on, Deebo Samuel, I mean, I went to one training camp practice, but Deebo Samuel had probably the best camp of anybody on offense, right? And if you think about, you know, Deebo Samuel has been good. He hasn't been as good as he was in 2021. You think about combining, you know, all-pro Brandon Ayuk with 2021 version of Deebo Samuel, who is essentially in a contract year, right? Like, Deebo Samuel is more or less in a contract year this season for the 49ers. That combination could give the 49ers the best wide receiver duo in the league, right? And then that's even before thinking about Christian McCaffrey. So they're like, obviously there's still plenty of reasons to be super optimistic about where the 49ers are, because you do have Deebo Samuel and you know, Christian McCaffrey, I don't know what his status is. I would expect him to play, if not Monday night, maybe early on in the season, coming off the calf injury. And I just think, like, if you expect Brock Purdy to take another leap, you know, Brock Purdy in his first full season as a starter was an MVP candidate, right? Like, for the first 15, 16 weeks of the season. If he takes another leap and continues to get better and build on the confidence that it seemed like he got during the playoffs when he's leading those comeback wins and making plays with his legs in the fourth quarter of those games and, you know, leading a potentially game-winning drive in overtime of the Super Bowl, right? Like, there's plenty of reason to be optimistic about this team. So I think sometimes we can get caught up in the quarterback stuff. It happened last year, right? Like, all we're doing is talking about Trey Lance and what's going to happen with him. And it's like, oh, Brock Purdy's a starter. His elbow's fine. And they're going to go hang 30 on the Steelers in week one and just dominate them. And then it's like, oh yeah, they're the best team in the NFC, quite clearly, right? The chatter doesn't always line up with what happens on the field. And I think that's been true about these 49ers, given all the quarterback drama they've had and all the outside discussion and all the criticism that there's been about how they've handled the quarterback situation with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo and all of that stuff. They've still won a ton of games. They've still made deep runs in the playoffs every year since all that's been happening. So, yeah, I think this team can be immune from outside chatter to a certain extent. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they came out and played really well early in the season, despite all this, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams chatter coming out of training camp.
Feels like that's a strong characteristic of Kyle Shanahan, too. He's able to block that out. I mean, he's been under the microscope, both positively and negatively, since his coaching career started because of his father. Yeah. And I think the character traits that Chris Biederman just laid out for this football team apply to Kyle Shanahan as well, who is one of the best in the game at what he does.
Yeah, unquestionably. And, like, I always, when people criticize Kyle Shanahan, like, I get it, right? If the standard is, like, winning the Super Bowl or failure, like, if that's your viewpoint, I get where you might be coming from in your criticism. But, like, it took Andy Reid, what, 2019, 20, 21 years as a head coach in the league before he won a Super Bowl. Yeah. And then now he's, like, people are talking about him as, like, the second or third best coach of all time, right? It's just, we're so often prisoners of the moment. We so often neglect to consider context in terms of, you know, what it, like, 30 other teams would take the Niners' problems, right? Mm. 30 other teams feel like they would be upgrading at head coach if they had Kyle Shanahan. So the Niners do deal with a lot of first world problems. Like, oh, they have too many good players to pay. You know, like the Carolina Panthers would kill for that issue, right? Yeah. So we get wrapped up in all this, in all this negativity because they haven't won a Super Bowl. And I get the angst of it given, you know, what the 80s and what the 90s were. But in the big picture, like, Kyle Shanahan's doing just fine. The Niners overall are doing just fine. And if your standard is Super Bowl or bust, I get why you might be frustrated. But it's you know, there's only one Super Bowl winner every year, and generally that goes to the team with the best quarterback. And right now, Patrick Mahomes is in the league, and that's just kind of what it is.
You know, another thing – sorry, Dan. Another thing that I heard this morning, I was listening to Baldy. He was on with the Morning Roast. And I know this is going to come off pro team, all this other stuff. All right, man. But hear me out, man, because I do have to give a shout out to the 49ers, John Lynch, Parag Marate, even Kyle Shanahan, because they have kept this team together somehow, some way, for a long time now. We're going on like fourth or fifth year of generally the same group, and that's probably going to be another year or two the way the contracts are of this. So you're talking about 6-7 years. Like, name another team that's doing that. I don't know how the Niners are doing that. Well, part of it is Brock Purdy and his contract, but I don't know how they're doing it. But look at all the people that they developed and they were able to retain. We're talking Bosa. We're talking Trent Williams was in a trade, but they had to sign him first time. IU, Debo, Kittle, Fred Warner. Hell, look at the Chiefs. And they won. It was able to work out for them. The Chiefs had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. They said, bro, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. We got to get rid of Tyreek Hill. They had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? Look at these other franchises who are super talented, but they, for whatever reason, I don't know. Hell, Bilal and JC in Seattle are probably like, oh, the 49ers don't deal with a salary cap or something like, because how do they keep all these guys on all of these contracts? And that's a testament to those guys, number one, finding those players and then being able to retain them.
It's kind of crazy to me because the Jim Harbaugh years get talked about with so much affinity, and like rightfully so. That was a great team, and it went from, you know, 6-10 to Super Bowl contender in one season. But that run was 3 years. We're like a 6-year run with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers being Super Bowl contenders. So I think in the moment, you know, people do tend to focus on some of the bad stuff. But like, to your point, and I think I've said it to you guys before, but like, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots played like four different versions of winning football, right? It was when Tom Brady first got there, it was, okay, he's kind of a game manager. He's being carried by the defense. And then by the end, it was Tom Brady's carrying everything, right? And in between, there were a bunch of different iterations, and they were running the ball with Corey Dillon at one point, and you know, like doing, and then hucking it to Randy Moss, like just playing different styles of football. And it was all sustainable because of the quarterback play. And to me, like, that's why Brock Purdy is so important. Obviously he's a quarterback, but like, his development and him continuing to get better is really going to be what gives this team long-term staying power, like long-term beyond just what's been happening these, you know, 6 years. Because if Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy can continue to field, you know, one of the three best offenses in football, and then the 49ers are just going to be right there. And they're going to, you know, that is going to be the thing that elevates them year in and year out, sort of regardless of what the roster looks like. And yeah, they're going to have to draft good players, no doubt. Like, Trent Williams isn't going to be there forever. You know, who knows if Debo Samuel is going to be there beyond this season, right? George Kittle isn't going to play forever. But with Brock Purdy, with Brandon Ayuk, with Nick Bosa, with Fred Warner, all here for the foreseeable future, the Niners are going to have a chance, and particularly with Kyle Shanahan pulling the strings. So I think that's really the key for the season to me, is like, does Brock Purdy take that next step? Because if he does, then you feel great about the 49ers' future.
Chris, before we lose you for today, you've been doing some great work on a variety of subjects over at the Sacramento Bee. Recently, you covered, I think within the last week or so, you wrote about the A's and the season tickets and how quickly they sold. Mm. What is that? Like, what are we in for when the A's take over that ballpark and we have a second major sports franchise here for the first time in a different sport?
I think it's going to be exciting to start, right? It sounds like there's going to be a lot of interest in Major League Baseball just as a whole. I don't know if there's going to be like what I'm curious to see is like how excited are people about the A's versus how excited are people going to be about just having a major league team in town where they can, you know, go see the Cubs opening night or go see the Yankees or whatever. That's what I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see how good the A's are when they play here, because look, if the A's came here and they played really well, there's no doubt in my mind that Sacramento would come out and support them. But if the A's, you know, and the A's have shown signs through the second half of this baseball season that like maybe they're an up and coming team that might be kind of fun to watch. We'll see. But if they're the A's of the previous few seasons that's losing, you know, 100 plus games a year, I wonder what the appetite's going to be for people to go see the A's on a 100 degree Tuesday in July. Play, you know, the Brewers or somebody, right? Like I'm genuinely curious to see that. But it's really, I mean, I just can't get over how unprecedented this is. Like there's no like precedent. There's no recent history or any history really of a team going to play in a minor league ballpark that's actually drawing fans, right? Like you had the Blue Jays playing in Buffalo or wherever it was during the pandemic. But it wasn't like there were no fans there. They were just playing baseball games. This is like they're creating a fan product. So I'm fascinated to see what that looks like. There's no doubt in my mind that Sacramento is a great sports town and people will show out for it. And that's been reflected in the ticket sales. But what I'm curious to see is a staying power. Like, what does it look like in year three if the A's stink, right? If the A's are losing 100 games a year and it's year three, like, does, you know, how much of that interest continues beyond just, you know, people coming to see the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Cubs and the big draws and the Giants, right? So that's a big question I have. But I do think the A's will feel a little bit of pressure to spend a little bit of money to try to make this a better product because they are trying to build a little bit of momentum going into Vegas. And frankly, I don't know how much momentum they have like in Las Vegas right now. I don't know how excited people are. So I think the A's may or may not use this opportunity in Sacramento to try to curry a little bit of favor. And if they can build an exciting product in Sacramento, then they might feel a little bit better about being able to build an exciting product in Las Vegas.
Man, great stuff, Chris. Great stuff at the B and great stuff covering the San Francisco 49ers. Man, we truly appreciate you. Thank you, my friend. We're excited for games to get started and to have some things to talk about in the coming weeks.
Actual football, man. Yeah, man. I'm dying to talk about actual football instead of these contracts.
Almost there, buddy. Almost there. Appreciate you, Chris. Thank you, brother.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.